Hebrews chapter 1. What a contrast. This tree and that tree. It reminds me of something an old preacher said about the birth of our Savior. He was born to die. Amen. As we celebrate the birth of baby Jesus, precious infant in that manger in Bethlehem, let's remember the reason for His coming was to give His life on the cross of Calvary, that we might have salvation free and eternal. Hebrews chapter 1 in our Bibles tonight. I know that many folks have family in this evening, and we're thankful that you have chosen to be in the house of God this evening. I like what preacher said this morning. Boy, wouldn't it be a blasphemous thing to celebrate the birth of our Savior, but to ignore coming to church, His church, on the day that He was born or the day before He was born. And it's a joy to be able to be here and celebrate with fellow believers, other Christians, the Savior of all mankind. I want to start reading in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, and let all the angels of God worship Him. And of the angels He saith, who maketh His angels spirits, and His ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the opportunity and privilege, yes, to be here in Ocala, and yes, to be at Central Baptist Church behind this pulpit that You've entrusted, God, to Pastor Andy Bloom to shepherd this flock. It's a privilege to be here. But God, it's also a privilege to be Your son, to be Your child tonight, rejoicing in the blessings of salvation. And as we look on Christmas Eve at the birth of Your Son, Jesus Christ, what a privilege it is to remember how He came to this world, born, leaving the realms of glory to be born in such a humble, simple, filthy, dirty manger filled with animals, beast of burden, the filth of a barn, but coming with a purpose because of great love that You have for all humanity, to die on the cross to offer salvation to all who will believe and trust in You. Lord, we thank You for this opportunity and this privilege to be here tonight and to be Your children. And God, I do ask You tonight, Father, to meet with us in a special way. God, that You'd help Your servant tonight bless the reading of Your word, that it would edify Your people and help us to keep our focus on this holiday in Your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask it in Your name and for Your sake. Amen. I grew up in a simple home in the hills of West Virginia, and they tell me that my great-grandfather was a rural mailman in those humble hollows of southern Putnam County and Lincoln County, West Virginia. They say he would deliver mail on horseback. Can you imagine trying to do that today? I think the mailman didn't make it to our house until about 6 o'clock last night. So many cards and whatnot going through the mail system. But they say his nickname was Doc, And presumably because a lot of times folks would order some medicine since he was going into town, and he'd bring it back to him and he'd deliver it on the way back as he ran his route. So he kind of got the name Doc. But that's the way they passed messages. They sent mail back in those days. And you know, today we live in the information age. We've come a long ways from mailmen that rode on horseback. We've come a long ways from snail mail. Even though we still have the postal system, today we have email. Today we have Instagram. Now we have Instant Messenger, Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, Snapchat. And every year there's something new. But it used to be that kings and queens, for their messaging needs, had royal heralds. We've all seen those pictures, those fellas, you know, and I realize it was in the Dark Ages, the Middle Ages. They would have the royal clothing, oftentimes a bugle or a horn. But royal monarchs had special men whose only job was to convey official decrees from the king. Now, when we come to God's revelation, God many times, most of the time in His Word, we understand, we know that God inspired men directly through the Holy Spirit. Talk about instant messaging, amen. But He inspired them directly through the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But what I want to preach on tonight, on certain occasions, God used official heavenly messengers, His divine heralds, the angels, to deliver certain messages of historic importance. Not every time. God brought to us the book of Genesis largely through Moses, but we understand, though, in that there were times where God used an angel to appear to Abraham. And different other men at different times. And as we are going into Christmas, tomorrow we're going to be celebrating Christmas, the birth of our Savior. I want to look at that night that Jesus was born, but not just that night. I want to look at the 15 months, and I want to see tonight how God used on four different occasions during the course of 15 months angelic messengers to announce the coming of the Christ. He didn't use mailmen. He didn't use Instagram. But God sent an angel. Over 2,000 years ago, in the space of these 15 months, God sent no less than four times His divine heralds. Gabriel, at least we know the name of one. Perhaps there were others. But they were messages to prepare for an event that would forever change the history of mankind. And I would go as far as to say the most waited for event in the history of mankind, the birth of the Messiah, the Christ, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Four angelic messages and four truths for us at Christmas time. It all started one morning inside the temple in Jerusalem. As people gathered for prayer, God dispatched the angel Gabriel to a man inside the holy place of the temple. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 1. And let's find in Luke chapter 1 a man by the name of Zechariah. Zechariah was one of the priests. We understand at this part of at this stage of his life, I should say, he was chosen. He was at the point of serving in the ministry of the priest, but he was chosen finally, a high point in the life of a priest, to go into the temple, into the holy place, and offer incense on the altar of incense inside of the temple. And here, the first month of these 15 months, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 11, we find this encounter. The Bible says, "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name," who? John. This is John the Baptist, right? thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him. Notice those words. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I want to look at this first angelic messenger, Gabriel, coming to Zechariah inside the temple. And I want us to look tonight at what we glean from this first message that God chose, initiating the 15 months leading up to the birth of Jesus. And I want to see tonight, we see two things. Number one, we see Christ's person and the promise of his forerunner, John the Baptist, in these verses. About John the Baptist, the angel says to Zechariah, he would go before the Lord. He would make ready a people for the Lord. He would turn the hearts of many to Christ. This was John's ministry. John the Baptist, it was the first event preceding the coming of the Lord to preach to Israel to repent and to accept their Messiah. But not only does the angel refer to John the Baptist, he also talks about the coming of the very Christ himself. He talks about, and here we can see his lordship in these verses. Verse 17 is clearly about Christ. He shall go before him. The first he, the pronoun, is talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist shall go before him. Who's the him? It's talking about Jesus. So what it's saying is John the Baptist will go before Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. So we find two prophecies, two announcements, one concerning John the Baptist and one concerning Jesus our Lord. In this about Christ, though, we see something special, the lordship of Christ. We see one of the first references in the New Testament about the very person of our Savior. He wasn't just a special man. He wasn't just a special prophet, Jesus our Lord. No. Oh, friend, he was the Messiah. He was Christ. But he was also King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's our Savior, and that's what the angel came to announce. Verse 17 is about Christ, but verse 16 makes it very clear about the Lord their God. The angel Gabriel presents this great truth, the deity of the Messiah, and the basis for the doctrine of the Trinity. Right here, 15 months before the birth of our Savior, Jesus is God. Oh, friend, I want to say something tonight. We need to take a step back sometimes and study and realize who Jesus really is. Amen? We're living in a dark day of our country. I believe in the next 10 to 20 years, we'll see Christianity starting to shrink back from the fundamentals of the faith even more than what we're already seeing. We're already starting to see through the New Age movement, the occult and other practices that have been taboo for many years becoming more and more prominent. And one of the things that they're questioning is the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would say that's an important doctrine. Amen. It's a doctrine that's important to our salvation, about our understanding of who Christ really is. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's no way around that great truth that the Word was God. And in the same chapter of John chapter 1, and in verse 14, there the Bible says about the Word was made flesh. Now that's important because in verse 1 it already nailed down the fact that the Word was with God and the Word was God. And in verse 14, it nails down the fact that the Word was made flesh. Someone can say in doubt who the Word may have been, but there's no mistake when we come to verse 14, it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. If Jesus were not God, it would be a dishonor to a father when you understand what happened at Calvary. Yes, Jesus was the Son of God. But understand this, I've met people in the country of Brazil where the occult is very prevalent. When we meet people for the very first time, they're usually one of two things. Either they are a practicing Roman Catholic, or they are involved in some form or some flavor of the occult. And one of the things that they often deny is the deity of Jesus Christ. I had a man, his name is Yersinu. He criticized God on this very point, saying that Jesus was only a God's Son and He was nothing more. And therefore, it was a dishonor to God the Father because He allowed His Son to do something that He should have done. You understand my point? It's kind of like this. I've got four children. Now the sonship of Christ is important. Jesus was made manifest in the flesh. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit. But He was just as much God as He was man. Amen? You can't kill God. You can't crucify Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 4 to the woman at the well. I'll come back to my illustration in just a second. You can't kill God. You can't crucify Spirit. Jesus said, God is Spirit, and those that will worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Jesus came with a body so that He could die on the cross for our sins. He fulfilled prophecy. And as my illustration, as I was about to say, I've got four children. I've got two boys. I've got two girls. I love all my children equally. Tonight I'll use the illustration of my son, my youngest son, Sam. He's seated back there next to my wife. Can you imagine if Brother Key is on the front row, we're burning in a house, and it was necessary for someone to go in the house to rescue him? For me as a father to say, well, you know what, in the comfort of my lazy boy, my chair, I don't really want to do it. Sam, would you risk your life and just go over there and bail Stephen Keyes out? What we need to understand, God was made flesh and rescued all of us when He went to the cross of Calvary. That's why the deity is important. Hey, I want to say Jesus was the Son of God, but He was also God come in the flesh. And we see the deity of Christ. We see the basis of the Trinity right here in these verses. Oh, what a wonderful truth to know that Jesus is God. He was come in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. He was God come in the flesh. That was the first message that the angel brought. One concerning John the Baptist, one concerning the Lordship of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Go with me now to Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. And we see on month number 6, the second angel that comes and brings a message in preparation for the birth of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, the Bible says here, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. The first angel we're able to see. We're able to see the person of Christ. And with the second angelic message, 6 months later, we see Christ's power, the royal authority that He has and that He will someday display for all the world to see. We see in Jesus all the promises of Israel fulfilled in His life and in His ministry, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Jesus fulfilled all the law. Jesus brought redemption from sin and eternal salvation. And Jesus someday will establish His kingdom here on earth for the millennial kingdom. He will rule and reign, and He'll keep His word to the Jews through Christ. We see all of this in these verses here as the angel lays out this revelation to Mary as she is in Nazareth. He'll be called, he shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Verses 31, 32, and 33. Friend, I'm looking for that day when Jesus will someday return. Jesus said, for as a lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. I believe Jesus will come first for the church, and then I believe He'll come again, and He'll establish His kingdom here on earth. Amen? I'm looking for that day. That was the second message that the angel brought to mankind, that, concerning Christ's power, His royal authority. Gabriel tells Mary that Jesus would receive the throne of David and reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever. And of His kingdom there would be no end. The third message I want to look at tonight is found over in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Now, as I was studying for this message several weeks ago, I don't know what you want to call it, an analytical observer. I like to study and analyze and lay things out. I try to lay out the Bible chronologically and understand the events of Scripture as they happen chronologically many times. And as I was looking at the birth of our Savior and trying to understand the different months and when Jesus or when the angel showed up when and to whom, I started to look at some of these things and try to understand exactly what must have been going through some of the minds of some of the people when these events started to happen. 15 months, Gabriel first appears to Zechariah. And then when his wife became 6 months pregnant is when he first appeared to Mary. So there's 3 months left in Elizabeth's pregnancy. She's practically in her last trimester. She leaves Nazareth and she goes all the way down. She passes Jerusalem. She passes Bethlehem. And Mary, before Jesus was born, she may or may not have already been overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, but she goes, probably it was the city of Hebron because it was a priestly city, and that may be where Zechariah and Elizabeth were living at the time. So she goes all the way down to spend the last 3 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy with her cousin. And in this 2 to 3 month period, evidently is when she is overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and she becomes pregnant with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's at this time that Elizabeth comes to her ninth month and John the Baptist is born. She goes back to Nazareth. Now think about this. You're Joseph. You're engaged. You're in Jewish culture. It's kind of almost like being married. You're just not living together yet, but it's a done deal. And your wife goes for a 3 month vacation to go see her cousin, and she comes back from possibly Hebron. We're not sure exactly the town, but I'll say Hebron. She comes back from Hebron, and now she's what? She's pregnant. And we've all thought about that, and we've heard about that, and here we find in Matthew chapter 1 verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Probably she was 2 or 3 months pregnant by this time. When she finally announces to Joseph, hey look, I'm pregnant, I'm back from visiting my cousin, and now Joseph is scratching his head, and Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. And this is when we find the third angelic visit, the third messenger in our story of 15 months of angelic messages prior to Christ's birth. It says in verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name. Now this is the second time an angel announces the name of Jesus. If you remember in the previous angel, when it was announced to Mary, it was told to Mary that his name would be Jesus. And now this is the second time an angel announces, but now it's to Joseph. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Friend, I want to say tonight, with the first angel, we were able to see Christ's person, His lordship, His deity. With the second angel, we were able to learn a little bit more and see Christ's power, His authority, that He would rule and reign upon the throne. And now to Joseph on this third angelic visit, we understand, we see Christ's purpose. His name is going to be called Jesus. For the second time, an angel announces this fact, but this time he reveals just a little bit more of information. He says, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus." Why? "For He shall save His people from their sins." I want to say that's what sets Jesus apart from any other religious leader, any other prophet that ever lived, and any that will ever come. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Oh, listen, what a wonderful thing we have when we realize the purpose of our Savior. Jesus didn't come just to occupy a pretty painting of a nativity scene for us to put on our postcards. No, Jesus came fulfilling prophecy, but He also came for the great purpose to go to Calvary to die on the cross for our sins. We learn of His spiritual work, the salvation of mankind to all who will believe from their sin. The very name Jesus comes from the Hebrew that means Jehovah saves, or Jehovah is salvation. John Phillips said salvation is interwoven with the very name of Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful thing as we prepare to celebrate tomorrow morning the birth of Jesus Christ? His very name speaks to His purpose for coming into this world. Oh, there's been a lot of great orators throughout history, and they have lectured and brought wonderful truth that has helped mankind. But I want to say tonight, my friend, Jesus has done what no teacher, what no orator or professor could ever have done. He paid the price with the very blood of His body on the cross of Calvary. And He has the name Jesus for that very reason. Jesus Himself said, "For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And when Jesus was criticized by the religious crowd because He went to a corrupt taxpayer's house named Zacchaeus, Jesus said again, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." The coming of Jesus means salvation to all of us who are saved. And tonight, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, oh, it's a joy to be able to tell you that that name could mean salvation to you if you will but repent and trust in Christ as your Savior tonight. God honors only one name for salvation. At the bank of heaven, you might try to come into the presence of God, perhaps claiming the name of Buddha, but that will not suffice. As Christians, we do have great respect for Mary and the ministry, raising, rearing, and yes, giving birth to our Savior. But can I tell you, with all the respect to all the Catholic friends that we can muster, as much as we respect Mary, Mary will not bring salvation. She is not a co-redemptress. Salvation is the name of, is in the name of her Son, and in the person of her Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it was He who died on the cross of Calvary. And while we respect Mary, we realize and we understand it wasn't her that died on the cross. It wasn't her that shed her blood on Calvary. It wasn't her that was buried and rose again on the third day. That's why salvation can only be through the name of Jesus Christ. And I want to say with this third angelic message, we understand and we can see Christ's true divine eternal purpose, the purpose of salvation. There are people who try to come before the Lord in the name of Muhammad, or the name of some other religious leader, but they are just as lost as they were before, because Muhammad or Buddha or Mary, for example, are names of people who are sinners. But that's not the case when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, which takes us again back to His deity. The fact that He was God come into the flesh, He was never contaminated by the curse or the presence of sin in His life. He went to the cross of Calvary sinless, but He took upon us the payment of our sins so that we could be made sons of God. And the Bible says there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Friend, that's Jesus. And He's the reason we're going to be celebrating through the night and in to tomorrow morning. And the offer of salvation continues to be offered to every lost person on the face of this planet tonight. It means salvation from hell. It means salvation from sin. But not only that, the name Jesus and the salvation that He brings, it also means being delivered from the power of darkness and being transported into the kingdom of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. And not only that, it means a renewed relationship between creature and creator, between God who created mankind. He is no longer just your creator, but He becomes a father to you because you're adopted into His royal family. And it is an everlasting, forever eternal salvation that lasts for all eternity because of Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins. And lastly tonight, the 15th month from the very first angel to the last angel, 15 months later, we find the last angelic message announcing the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 2 as we close this evening. Passage that we're all familiar with. No doubt many of you will read these very words to your children, to your family tomorrow morning. And here the Bible says in Luke chapter 2 in verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Friend, this last angel, we see a great proclamation to the shepherds. The angel preaching the good tidings of great joy. And our takeaway with this, we find a joyful proclamation of the gospel. For all people, all 200 and some nations around the world, it doesn't matter if it's Canada, United States, doesn't matter if it's Brazil, Venezuela, Chile, doesn't matter if it's Zimbabwe, South Africa, Madagascar, doesn't matter if it's in England or Russia, doesn't matter if it's in North Korea or South Korea, Australia, or all the way down with the penguins in Antarctica. Amen. I want to say, where there be a sinner, there be hope, because Jesus came to die on the cross for all sinners. Let's rejoice in who our Savior is this Christmas season. Let's rejoice in the purpose for which He came, to bring salvation to all mankind. Amen. And if you're here tonight, I pray that one of these angelic messages rings true in your heart and you realize who Jesus is. You realize what Jesus did for you, and perhaps tonight you'd be willing to come to an altar and put your trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're visiting from out of town. And perhaps tonight, for the first time, you've realized the true spiritual reason for the coming of Jesus Christ. Friend, He was much more than a political rebel, much more than a martyr, much more than just a revolutionary who came with a different message. No, friend, He was the plan of God from the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God, who was planned, destined to die on the cross for your sins and mine, to come and offer salvation for you. Eternal salvation. Instantaneous salvation. A salvation that you don't have to wait for, that you don't have to hope for, that you don't have to evolve through hoping you'll reach a new plane of existence or perhaps some sort of idea of reincarnation. Friend, the salvation that God offers is instantaneous the moment you place faith in Jesus Christ as your only Savior tonight. Let's stand to our feet as the musicians come, as we prepare for the invitation. Heavenly Father, we pray that You do Your will in our hearts tonight, that we would understand and realize and appreciate all that Jesus did. And Lord, above all, God, I do pray, Father, if there be one here tonight that does not know you as Savior, that, Lord, you would touch their hearts and bring them to a place of repentance to trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, for all eternity, for their salvation. We ask it in your name and for your sake. Amen.